How does God view the nation of Israel? How does he view the Jewish people, both historically and right now? And how are we to view the nation of Israel today? How are we to view the Jewish people? Listen in as we look into these questions and find answers in Romans chapter 11, the destiny of Israel. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is July 28th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 32, 1-42. The Reubenites and the Gadites owned cattle in very great numbers. Noting that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were a region suitable for cattle, the Gadites and the Reubenites came to Moses, Eleazar the Kohen, and the chieftains of the community and said, Adarath, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elalah, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon, the land that Hashem has conquered for the community of Israel, is cattle country, and your servants have cattle. It would be a favor to us, they continued, if this land were given to your servants as a holding. Do not move us across the Jordan. Moses replied to the Gadites and the Reubenites, Are your brothers to go to war while you stay here? Why will you turn the minds of the Israelites from crossing into the land that Hashem has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to survey the land. After going up to the Wadi Eshkol and surveying the land, they turned the minds of the Israelites from invading the land that Hashem had given them. Thereupon Hashem was incensed, and he swore, None of the men from 20 years up who came out of Egypt shall see the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they did not remain loyal to me. None except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they remained loyal to Hashem. Hashem was incensed at Israel, and for 40 years he made them wander in the wilderness until the whole generation that had provoked Hashem's displeasure was gone. And now you, a breed of sinful men, have replaced your fathers to add still further to Hashem's wrath against Israel. If you turn away from him and he abandons them once more in the wilderness, you will bring calamity upon all this people. Then they stepped up to him and said, We will build here sheepfolds for our flocks and towns for our children, and we will hasten as shock troops in the van of the Israelites until we have established them in their home while our children stay in the fortified towns because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the Israelites is in possession of his portion. But we will not have a share with them in the territory beyond the Jordan, for we have received our share on the east side of the Jordan. Moses said to them, If you do this, if you go to battle as shock troops at the instance of Hashem, and every shock fighter among you crosses the Jordan at the instance of Hashem until he has dispossessed his enemies before him, then the land has been subdued at the instance of Hashem, and then you return, you shall be clear before Hashem and before Israel, and this land shall be your holding under Hashem. But if you do not do so, you will have sinned against Hashem, and know that your sin will overtake you. Build towns for your children and sheepfolds for your flocks, but do what you have promised. The Gadites and the Reubenites answered Moses, Your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our children, our wives, our flocks, and all our other livestock will stay behind in the towns of Gilead, while your servants, all those recruited for war, cross over at the instance of Hashem to engage in battle, as my Lord orders. Then Moses gave instructions concerning them to Eleazar the Kohen, Joshua son of Nun, and the family heads of the Israelite tribes. Moses said to them, "If every shock fighter among the Gadites and the Reubenites crosses the Jordan with you to do battle at the instance of Hashem, and the land is subdued before you, you shall give them the land of Gilead as a holding. But if they do not cross over with you as shock troops, they shall receive holdings among you in the land of Canaan." The Gadites and the Reubenites said in reply, "Whatever Hashem has spoken concerning your servants, that we will do. We ourselves will cross over as shock troops at the instance of Hashem into the land of Canaan, and we shall keep our hereditary holding across the Jordan." So Moses assigned to them, to the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of King Og of Bashan, the land with its various cities and the territories of their surrounding towns. The Gadites rebuilt Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer, Atroth, Shophan, Jazer, Jogbeah, Beth Nimrah, and Beth Haran as fortified towns or as enclosures for flocks. The Reubenites rebuilt Heshbon, Alela, Kiriathaim, Nebo, Baal Meon, some names being changed, and Sibmah. They gave their own names to towns that they rebuilt. The descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and captured it, dispossessing the Amorites who were there. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, son of Manasseh, and he settled there. Yair, son of Manasseh, went and captured their villages, which he renamed Havoth-Jair. And Nobah went and captured Kenath and his dependencies, renaming it Nobah after himself. 2 Chronicles 21:1-23:21. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His son Jehoram succeeded him as king. He had brothers, sons of Jehoshaphat: Azariah, Jechiel, Zechariah, Azarahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were sons of King Jehoshaphat of Israel. Their father gave them many gifts of silver, gold, and other presents, as well as fortified towns in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Jehoram proceeded to take firm hold of his father's kingdom and put to the sword all his brothers, as well as some of the officers of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He followed the practices of the kings of Israel, doing what the house of Ahab had done. For he had married a daughter of Ahab. He did what was displeasing to Hashem. However, Hashem refrained from destroying the house of David for the sake of the covenant he had made with David, and in accordance with his promise to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants for all time. During his reign, the Edomites rebelled against Jehuda's rule and set up a king of their own. Jehoram advanced against them with his officers and all his chariots. He arose by night and attacked the Edomites who surrounded him and the chariot commanders. Edom has been in rebellion against Judah to this day. Libna also rebelled against him at that time because he had forsaken God of his fathers. Moreover, he built shrines in the hill country of Judah. He led astray the inhabitants of Jerusalem and made Judah wayward. A letter from Eliyahu the Navi came to him, which read, "Thus says God of your father David, since you have not followed the practices of your father Jehoshaphat and the practices of King Asa of Judah, but have followed the practices of the kings of Israel, leading astray Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as the house of Ahab led them astray, and have also killed your brothers of your father's house who were better than you. Therefore, Hashem will inflict a great blow upon your people, your sons, and your wives, and all your possessions. As for you, You will be severely stricken with a disorder of the bowels year after year until your bowels drop out. Hashem stirred up the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabs who were neighbors of the Cushites against Jehoram. They marched against Judah, breached its defenses, and carried off all the property that was found in the king's palace, as well as his sons and his wives. The only son who remained was Jehoahaz, his youngest. After this, Hashem afflicted him with an incurable disease of the bowels. Some years later, when a period of 2 years had elapsed, his bowels dropped out because of his disease, and he died a gruesome death. His people did not make a fire for him like a fire for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He departed unpraised and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Akaziahu, his youngest son, king in his stead, because all the older ones had been killed by the troops that penetrated the camp with the Arabs. Akaziahu, son of Jehoram, reigned as king of Judah. Akaziahu was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Atalia, daughter of Omri. He too followed the practices of the house of Ahab, for his mother counseled him to do evil. He did what was displeasing to Hashem, like the house of Ahab, for they became his counselors after his father's death, to his ruination. Moreover, he followed their counsel and marched with Jehoram, son of King Ahab of Israel, to battle against King Hazael of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead, where the Arameans wounded Joram. He returned to Israel to recover from the wounds inflicted on him at Ramah when he fought against King Hazael of Aram. King Azariah, son of Jehoram of Jehudah, went down to Israel to visit Jehoram, son of Ahab, while he was ill. Hashem caused the downfall of Akaziahu because he visited Joram. During his visit, he went out with Jehoram to Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom Hashem had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. In the course of bringing the house of Ahab to judgment, Jehu came upon the officers of Jehuda and the nephews of Akaziahu, ministers of Akaziahu, and killed them. He sent in search of Akaziahu, who was caught hiding in Samaria, was brought to Jehu and put to death. He was given a burial because it was said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who worshipped Hashem wholeheartedly." So the house of Akaziahu could not muster the strength to rule. When Atalia, Akaziahu's mother, learned that her son was dead, she promptly did away with all who were of the royal stock of the house of Judah. But Jehoshaphat, daughter of the king, spirited away Akaziahu's son Joash from among the princes who were being slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Jehoshaphat, daughter of the king Jehoram, wife of the Kohen Jehoiada, she was the sister of Akaziahu, kept him hidden from Atalia so that he was not put to death. He stayed with them for 6 years, hidden in the house of Hashem, while Atalia reigned over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada took courage and brought the chiefs of the hundreds, Azariah, son of Jehoram, Ishmael, son of Jehoiakim, Azariah, son of Oved, Messiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zikri, into a compact with him. They went through Judah and assembled the Levi'im from all the towns of Judah and the chiefs of the clans of Israel. They came to Jerusalem, and the entire assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of Hashem. He said to them, "The son of the king shall be king according to the promise Hashem made concerning the sons of David. This is what you must do. 1/3 of you, Kohanim and Levi'im, who are on duty for the week, shall be gatekeepers at the thresholds. another third shall be stationed in the royal palace, and the other third at the foundation gate. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of Hashem. Let no one enter the house of Hashem except the Kohanim and the ministering Leviim. They may enter because they are sanctified, but all the people shall obey the proscription of Hashem. The Leviim shall surround the king on every side, every man with his weapons at the ready, and whoever enters the house shall be killed. Stay close to the king in his comings and goings. The Leviim and all Judah did just as Jehoiada the Kohen ordered. Each took his men, those who were on duty that week and those who were off duty that week, for Jehoiada the Kohen had not dismissed the divisions. Jehoiada the Kohen gave the chiefs of the hundreds King David's spears and shields and quivers that were kept in the house of Hashem. He stationed the entire force, each man with his weapons at the ready, from the south end of the house to the north end of the house, at the altar and the house, to guard the king on every side. Then they brought out the king's son and placed upon him the crown and the insignia. They proclaimed him king, and Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Ataliah heard the shouting of the people and the guards and the acclamation of the king, she came out to the people, to the house of Hashem. She looked about and saw the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, the chiefs with their trumpets beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and the singers with musical instruments leading the hymns. Ataliah rent her garments and cried out, "Treason! Treason!" Then the Kohen Jehoiada ordered out the army officers, the chiefs of hundreds, and said to them, "Take her out between the ranks, and if anyone follows her, put him to the sword." For the Kohen thought, "Let her not be put to death in the house of Hashem." They cleared a passage for her, and she came to the entrance of the horse gate to the royal palace. There she was put to death. Then Jehoiada solemnized a covenant between himself and the people and the king that they should be part and be the people of Hashem. All the people then went to the temple of Baal. They tore it down and smashed its altars and images to bits. They slew Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada put the officers of the house of Hashem in charge of the Levite Kohanim, whom David had assigned over the house of Hashem to offer up burnt offerings, as is prescribed in the teaching of Moses, accompanied by joyful song, as ordained by David. He stationed the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of Hashem to prevent the entry of anyone unclean for any reason. He took the chiefs of hundreds, the nobles, and the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and they escorted the king down from the house of Hashem into the royal palace by the upper gate, and seated the king on the royal throne. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. As for Ataliah, she had been put to the sword. Romans 11:13-36. For I, Paul, speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root bears you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. But they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Psalm 22, 1-18. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you have brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Proverbs 20:7. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. How does God himself view the nation of Israel? How does he view the Jewish people? How does he want us to view the nation of Israel? And how are we to regard the Jewish people? These questions are addressed in Romans chapter 11. And in the section that we read today, there's a strong warning for us Gentiles, for us non-Jewish people. He paints the picture of an olive tree, and there are wild branches and natural branches. The wild branches are us non-Jews, us Gentiles. We are the wild branches, and we have been grafted into this olive tree, and the root of the olive tree is very rich. The root of the olive tree is Jesus Christ himself. And you could say it also goes to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The olive tree is the nation of Israel. And when we are grafted into this olive tree, we become citizens, naturalized citizens of the commonwealth of Israel. We become a part of God's family. But who are the natural branches? The natural branches are the Jewish people. And Paul, it's almost as though he's looking down the corridor of time and he is anticipating and seeing what is coming. And he sees times in the future when there would be great arrogance and pride and even persecution against the Jewish people, against the natural branches. He warns against this. He says, well, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, he says, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. So there's a deep mystery here. And basically he's saying that these natural branches have been given a blindness from God, and that they have been kept out of the gospel cycle, so to speak, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He goes on to say, even so, in verse 30, in times past, have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. We Gentiles have obtained the mercy of God through the unbelief of the Jews. In other words, think about it. When Paul tried to share the gospel message with his fellow Jews, some of them listened, some of them believed, some of them followed Jesus, but many of them rejected him and would not tolerate him. They would stone him and chase him out of the synagogue. And so he said, fine, I'm going to take this gospel message to the Gentiles. And his whole focus of his ministry was to the Gentiles. But now in verse 31, it says, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. Let's unpack that for just a moment. Through your mercy, that is us Gentiles, they, the Jews, also may obtain mercy. So, what do we see happening today? Wonderful bridges of relationship, connection, and partnership are being built between the Jewish community and the Christian community. And it goes in both directions. And there are many different organizations and ministries, Christian organizations and ministries, that have a heart to serve and to support and come alongside Israel and the Jewish people. Christians United for Israel, CUFI, is one such organization. The ICEJ, International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, is another such organization. Zachariah's Hope is another such organization. And what many of these organizations, ministries do is it's called relationship evangelism. So we're not going to share the gospel with words. We're going to love them and support them and love them with our actions, not just with our words. And help in every way that we can and send support, send volunteers, and walk with the Jewish people without trying to in any way proselytize them or cause them to convert, that we're just going to love them right where they're at. And that's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. That is the loving kindness of God. And so, ever since October 7th broke out, the war has broken out, and the war just lingers and continues on, and people are weary. It's been 2 years now, and people are weary, and many, many soldiers have died. Almost 1,000 IDF soldiers have died in this war on seven fronts against Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah and Iran. So, as Christians stand in support and in prayer with Israel, and they go and they continue to serve in Israel, rolling up their sleeves and getting to work and volunteering, the Jewish people see the love of God in action. I love the saying that says, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. And that's what works best in Israel. Love in action. It is the love of Christ that compels us to love the Jewish people because God loves them. They are the apple of his eye. And it says here in Romans that there's a day coming when all Israel will be saved. And when that happens, it will be life from the dead, because after all, they are the natural branches. And when the natural branches get grafted back into the olive tree, truly, that is going to be resurrection life. That's going to be life from the dead. And so this gives us an understanding of how God sees Israel. He says in verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, so the purpose of them being casting aside was the reconciling of the world, so the gospel would go to all the nations, to all four corners of the earth. What shall the receiving of them, the Jews, be but life from the dead? This is reminiscent of Ezekiel chapter 37, when we see the scattered dry bones. And Ezekiel is surveying this valley filled with dry bones. And God asks him, Ezekiel, what do you see? And Ezekiel says, I see all these dry, dead bones, and they're all scattered. And God instructs him, speak to these bones and tell them to come alive. And so he speaks to the bones, and the bones begin to come together. That field of dry bones represents Israel, represents the Jewish people that have been scattered to all the nations of the earth before the nation of Israel was reborn in May of 1948. And then as the bones come together, bone upon bone, and now we have a skeleton, and then there is flesh and muscle and blood and sinew put upon these bones. And yet they're still not quite alive. That's stage one. The people had to return to the land. Stage one. And we've been seeing stage one unfolding for the last 50 odd years. But stage two is when God instructs Ezekiel to now breathe the breath of life. Pray that God would breathe the breath of life upon these bones. And when the breath of life is blown upon the bones, then they truly come alive. So in stage one, the bones return, the Jews return to the land. And it's a secular reawakening, a secular rebirthing into the land. But in stage two, when the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God comes upon this mighty and vast army, that's the spiritual awakening, the spiritual rebirth of Israel as a nation. And so God loves the nation of Israel. He loves the Jewish people. And he is not done with them. He has a plan for them, and they are integral. They are central in his final closing chapter of human history. Okay, that's all I have for today. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vish Mareka Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.